Welcome to this morning's Prisons Week service. A special welcome to our visitors, Eric, Margaret and Arthur from Lym Baptist Church, who are all volunteers with Prison Fellowship. Lynn has just got a notice for us before we start.
Good morning, Church Fellowship. Lovely to see you. The 26th of this month, so that's only three Saturdays away, we have our day away at Olive Grove Centre at Elim in Nantwich. So please do sign up. The list is by the door at the exit there. And it's just £10 contribution. If that's too difficult, then you're welcome to come anyway. So please do sign up and then we can get the numbers in for the catering and everything. So bless you. Thank you.
It's just we have a fundraiser for Angel Tree next Saturday, 6 till 9, with light refreshments. So just to ask anybody if they would like to bring anything, I've just put a sheet on the table at the back, and if you just want to jot down what you're going to bring and your name, and then we don't get, 10 quiches or whatever and nothing else, it'd be lovely. Yes, and we're having a beetle drive as well. Okay, so lots of fun.
Thank you. We'll just open the service in prayer. We thank you, Lord, that we've been able to come here this morning to meet together in your name. We thank you that we've arrived safely. And we just ask now that you would bless each one of us as we spend this time in your presence. Amen. Well, we're going to sing. So if we stand, if you like, to sing, "To God Be the Glory."
Oh,
Please take a seat. Just to tell you a little bit about Prisons Week. It's a week of prayer supported by various Christian ministries. I'm a Prison Fellowship volunteer, and Prison Fellowship is one of the ministries that supports Prisons Week. Prisons Week aims to gather the church in prayer for the needs of all those affected by prisons. And the daily prayers during the week of prayer are for the prisoners, their families, the victims of crime, their communities, those working in the criminal justice system, and the many people caring for those affected by crime, inside and outside of our prisons. This year's campaign from the 13th to the 19th of October is based on Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Jesus looked at him and loved him. This year you are invited to remember that he looks at you, he looks at us and loves you. Just going to watch a little video now that is for Prisons Week.
If you knew, I mean really knew, deep down, that God who made the earth and flung stars into space, that God looks at you. He sees you. He loves you, truly, unconditionally, and is for you. By your side and on your side. How would that change your day, your hours, your minutes, your seconds? How would that change your thoughts, your words, your relationships, your actions? And how would that change how you see others? Knowing that this is as true for them as it is for you. And you know who them are, don't you? The others over there. Maybe this year, for 1 week, Prisons Week, you could pray for them, the ones he sees, the ones he loves, as much as he sees and loves you, the ones he'd ask to pray for you. If it was you that needed to know that you are seen and loved, you are loved, they are loved. Let's pray.
We'll stand to sing again, and we're going to sing Amazing Grace. We're just going to have a time of prayer now, and to lead us into that time of prayer, we're just going to listen to the words of a song called The God Who Sees.
The God Most High, the Savior of the world, you see me. Every affliction and distress of my soul, the deepest of struggles that no one else knows, hear every cry. God who sees me. When my faith is dim, fear comes creeping in, you see me. I can trust in stress in my soul, the deepest of struggles no one else knows. You hear every cry and you bottle each tear. You are the God who sees me. You said
Lord, we just thank you so much that you see us and that you see them and that you love them and that you love us. And we just give you all the praise and the thanks for your magnificent love for us. And we just pray for those in prison who are searching, who are lost and who are lonely. And we just pray that they would find you, that they would be led to you. And we pray for those who have found you while they've been in prison. And we ask, Lord, that you would strengthen them in the power of your Holy Spirit to continue to search and to know you. And above all, Lord, we pray that when they're outside, Lord, that there will be someone, a church, a fellowship, that they will be led to, that would nurture them and that they would grow in their knowledge of you. We thank you, Lord, for all the chaplaincies in the prisons. We thank you for the chaplains. We thank you for those who love the prisoners and do their very best for them. And for the work that goes on in a chaplaincy as well. The things that they have to deal with, the things that they have to do, Lord. We thank you for each and every one of the chaplains within our prison. And Lord, we pray for the children with a parent in prison, and the family of someone in prison as well, Lord. We pray for those children. We pray, Lord, that they would feel your love, that they wouldn't feel lost and disconnected and not appreciated. And we pray for the children within our that we sponsor through Compassion. Lord, how we pray that each one of those children, all children all over the world, Lord, would have a childhood, would be loved, would be cared for, and would grow into healthy, happy individuals with a purpose in life. And we pray for all the children, Lord, that are caught up in violence. We think especially at the moment of what's going on in the Middle East. Innocent children, Lord, and their families that are struggling so much at the moment to have a normal life, to have food. We would pray, Lord, we would pray for peace. And I think, Lord, we would pray for the leaders, Lord, for the leaders of these countries, Lord, that you would soften their hearts and that their hearts, that they would let their hearts be softened as well. And we think of those children that are hungry, that are homeless, that are living in temporary accommodation at the moment because there is nowhere else. We pray for those children, Lord. And we just pray that they would be cherished and that they would remember their childhoods with happiness and that one day soon, Lord, that they would all be settled with a home of their own. So, Lord, we just give you the thanks that we can come before you and pray this morning. And pray to your glory, Lord. And we thank you for your blessings on each one of us, Lord, and we bless you as well. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're going to sing again now, and we're going to sing I'm Special. And during I'm Special, we will take the collection. We have two collection bags, one for the bag for the church, but the little tin thing is to sponsor the children, the collection for the children that we sponsor as a church for Compassion.
Save me, Jesus, Son Jesus. that I'm your special friend.
Lord, we just thank you for these gifts. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless these gifts and that they will forward your kingdom, Lord, in so many ways. We bless these gifts for the children too. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
Steph is now going to sing for us a song called My Prayer for You. Thank you.
Yeah, this song was written by Alicia Turner, My Prayer for You. And yeah, it's one of my favourites, and I hope it just blesses you too. For anyone who's prayed 1,000 prayers and still can't find the answer anywhere, fighting off the lie that no one cares. For anyone who's out there losing hope, feeling you're forsaken and alone, clinging to the last strands of your rope. May God give you eyes to see He's still greater, courage to rise and believe He's able. May God be your peace in the fire you're walking through. This is my prayer now. This is my prayer for you. For all of those with tired and weary souls, but still have faith to ask for miracles, choosing to believe He's in control. May God give you eyes to see He's still greater, courage to rise and believe He's able. May God be your peace in the fire you're walking through. This is my prayer now. This is my prayer. May your eyes be ever on the Lord, your helper. May you find your refuge in the Lord, your shelter. May you find Him closer than a brother all your days, all of your days. May God give you eyes to see He's still greater, courage to rise and believe He's able. May God be your peace in the fire you're walking through. This is my prayer now. This is my prayer for you. Amen.
Now, we're going to watch another video now. It's a prison fellowship video, and it's called Teresa's Story. And she will tell really about her children receiving gifts on her behalf.
I left home when I was 15, 16. I had stolen from my mum, I'd stolen from my stepdad. I was creating havoc in the house. I sort of bounced around from hostel to hostel. When I was about 18, I got a shared house, started to steady out a little bit. I got pregnant with my daughter. I suddenly became aware of this responsibility that I had. So I started to try and get my life on track because there was someone else. And I actually had this sort of little thing in the back of my mind that maybe this will change everything. Even though I had people in and out, I felt quite alone in it all. And I realised that I had this child and I had no idea what I was doing with her. When she was about a year old or something, I started dating this other guy. We were drinking a lot. It got to the point where we used to fight. I think even police came into the house one time looking for him. The health visit or someone had come round and they'd seen it. So then they recognised that something wasn't right in this relationship that I had. I put on a good front for a little while for them just to get them off my back. But actually I was really desperate for the help. So then that sort of relationship continued to when I fell pregnant with my boys. I thought, okay, let's move out of the area. Let's try and do everything again. I was quite emotional, quite highly strung, and I self-harmed, and I'd done it quite badly. So I had to take myself to A&E. When I got help, they then informed me, we've called the social services and they've taken the kids. I didn't understand it, because it had never got to that point, because I'd always managed to sort of pull it all back together again. So then when I got home from the hospital and I saw the kids had gone, I just died inside, I guess. Everything I'd worked for, the only good things that I had in my life had been taken from me. So I pushed the big button and went, let's go into self-destruct, and that was it. I was like sort of really like in the depths of addiction now. Like I had music going at all hours, madness, different people coming in and out. I could overhear my neighbours talking about just me and what was going on with me. So you can come at me all day long. But they said something about my kids. I went flying out the front door, I was on the first floor. I went down, started banging on this one neighbour's door. Can't even remember what she said, if I'm honest. And I just launched at her and cracked her straight on the head. As soon as I did it, collapsed on the floor. And I sat there crying my eyes out, going, I'm so sorry. It was like someone else had taken over altogether. It's just all the emotions, everything bubbled up into that moment. Got this Christmas card, and in it it had it was from the angel tree, and it said the three gifts that my kids had been sent, and it was the things that I'd requested on behalf of them. And to know that they'd asked me for something and there had been other people involved that helped make this come true. The first time my kids had received presents from me, and they were what they wanted. And my daughter actually still talks about it to this day. For a long period of my life, I had been a nothing, a nobody, and I was a failure as a mother. But all of a sudden, there was people who I don't even know, who knew I was in prison. I could have been in for anything for all they knew, but they didn't see that. They saw a person, and that was the importance of Angel Tree for me. They didn't see a crime, they didn't see a conviction, they didn't see a failure, they saw a person. And at that moment I felt human again. What you may see as just a small gift at Christmas, or a little bit out of your wage, or a little bit out of your time, this is actually a seed that you can plant within someone's life that could actually grow and bring change and freedom into so many people. You have the ability this Christmas to make a difference in not just one person's life, but in a whole family's life. So if you can do it, I ask you to do it.
I just want to say thank you. Thank you to Sandbach Baptist Church for helping, supporting, donating to Angel Tree. We're doing it again this year. Thank you to everyone. And I'd just like to say gifts about gifts last Christmas. On the whole, for the whole number of gifts that were sent on behalf of a parent were 2,730. They applied to have a gift sent. 5,172 presents were given on behalf of a parent. Here in Sandbach, we sent 32 gifts and we packed 104 gift bags for the boys in Werrington Young Offenders. So I just want to just share a couple of feedbacks with you. And this is from a parent in prison who says, "Thank you for getting a present for my 14 years old son. He loved it, said he was happy to open a gift from his mum. Thank you." And from a family, "My child was over the moon with the gift and especially that Dad had wrote the gift tag himself." So we're just going to sing "In Christ Alone." just going to have a reading now, chosen by Arthur. Two readings. The first is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 34-40. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see a stranger invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." And Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1-3. "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those with them in prison and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were suffering. Amen." Just going to ask Arthur to come up now. Arthur is very experienced prison fellowship volunteer.
Thank you.
He is the tutor for the Sycamore Tree course at Thorncross.
Yeah. And Angel Tree Coordinator.
And Angel Tree Coordinator as well.
PF Warrington Group Leader.
And Arthur was the one that got me interested in prison fellowship all those years ago. Lynn remembers. Yes. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. Great to be here with you, and thank you so much for the invitation to come and share something about the work of Prison Fellowship. Just before I do that, though, I just wanted just to tell you about my conversion call. Back in 1988, there was a team at Lynn Baptist Church. Eric and Margaret were part of it. Lynn was part of it. And another lady that I'll mention later in another context, Dorothy Evans. And they prayed me into the kingdom. And it was lovely just to greet Lynn this morning and said, "Hi, Arthur, we prayed you into the kingdom, didn't we?" And they did. They prayed for me. And in that was in all through 1988. And the first service I ever went to at Lynn Baptist Church, because I was resisting quite strongly, was when my youngest, who was around about five, and it was nativity time, and he said, "Arthur, you've got to come and see Vicky as a sheep," or whatever she was in the nativity, you know. So that was the start of my journey. And so thank you guys for praying for me, and praise you, Lord, that you answered that prayer. So I retired from work in 2001. Young man at the back there in the red T-shirt. We worked at Lloyd's together. And I tell you, if any of you guys are working and you've got an appraisal coming up, there's a great diversionary tactic you could use, because we sat down together for me to do Dave's appraisal, and he opened it up by saying, "I want to tell you, Arthur, I've just become a Christian." My notes out of the window, you know, praise the Lord, you know. So, and it would have been a great appraisal anyway, Dave, so don't worry. So I can't believe it's 23 years, just a few weeks ago, since I actually took early retirement from Lloyd's. And Yeah, so Dave was amongst those waving me off, you know. It was a V for victory sign that you were giving me. Anyway, it's not long after that. I was already a Gideon. Good news for everyone, as we are now. But just thinking about what to get involved in to keep me out of mischief, you know. And so Lady Dorothy Evans, who was at our church, she was part of that same prayer team that prayed me into the kingdom, but she was a retired GP. And she was going into Risley Prison as a bereavement counsellor. So she was sharing, you know, bringing, counselling to those bereaved in Risley. And there was a church meeting towards the end of 2003, I think it was, maybe 2002, getting a bit old, you know. And she stood up at the AOB and the church meeting, and she said, "I've been in Risley today, and there's a new chaplain there, and he wants to run the Alpha course, and he needs some volunteers, Arthur." Well, she didn't actually say Arthur, but you know when somebody looks at you, like, yeah. So, and then those verses that we've seen from Matthew, you know, I'm sure some of you have experienced that when God's calling you to something, these verses keep popping up, and you read it, you know, and they jump out at you. So, yeah. So, I got involved with Alpha at Risley, and Eric was involved in that as well. By the way, I just must say that if any of you think, "Oh, prisons work, it's all very good, but yeah, I'm too old for that now." Eric's going to be 92 in December, so, and he's still a fantastic prayer warrior. Margaret was involved when we started doing Sycamore Tree at Thorn Cross as well, so, and she was amazing at recruiting people in the church to become involved in the Sycamore Tree course. Yeah, so that was my kind of call into conversion and into prisons ministry. But I'd like just now to use a prison fellowship PowerPoint. We're good to go. And just tell you something about the work that we do as an organisation. We're a Christian charity, and over 3,000 volunteers, I think. There's a head office in London, but quite a small full-time staff. It's mainly the volunteers that actually do the work in the prison. And our mission, exactly what it says there. So how do we do that? How do we show our love, support them, come alongside them? Next one, please, Dan. Some of these stats are a little bit out of date. I apologise for that. As you probably know from the media, the prisons are getting overcrowded at the moment, and they're actually releasing people early before they've completed the sentence, or even what was the usual proportion of the sentence. It's actually around about 88,000 in there now, and that's close to capacity, really. It's almost dangerously full, the prisons. I'll let you just read those statistics rather than me saying them. Jenny told you about the Angel Tree scheme and children affected by people in prison. It's a phenomenal number. That story, by the way, of Teresa's story, is just so powerful, isn't it? It really is a powerful story. But it didn't end there with Angel Tree. That lady is now in full-time Christian ministry as part of an organisation called Victory Outreach. She's an amazing evangelist. And all because she ordered those gifts, you know, for her children through Angel Tree. Part two about that. Just a few more stats for you, then we'll move on to what we're actually doing. We've had those readings, but they certainly called me to the ministry. And we've been active there now since, well, 1979 it was formed in England. Prison Fellowship originally started in the USA, and the guy that started it was somebody called Charles Coulson. He was he actually went to prison in the States because of his involvement in the Watergate scandal. He was like a special advisor to Richard Nixon. But just before he went to prison, he actually became a Christian. And so he went into prison, and rather than looking at what was happening in there as through the eyes of a politician, you know, like the American terminology, trail them, nail them and jail them type of philosophy, and throw away the key perhaps, he suddenly looked at all these men, obviously in a men's prison, he looked at these men and through the eyes of compassion that Jesus has, and just realised what a waste it is just to lock people up and not do anything to help them to not to reoffend in the future. So yeah, he's written quite a few books now, but his actual, the one about being born again, that's a really good read about how he came to faith and then formed Prison Fellowship. There was a lady in America, in the UK, sorry, she was married to a Tory MP called Michael Allison. Her name is Mary Sylvia Allison. And she started it by forming a prayer group, because back in 1979, the prisons weren't actually welcoming of volunteers going in. That situation's changed quite dramatically now, because we're constantly being asked to provide more services. And I'll tell you about a couple of them as we come up on the... sorry, I've skipped on my slides, Dan, but not, can you just go on to prayer now, please? Yeah. So... back in 1979, she started by forming a prayer group to pray for the prisons. This is Mary Sylvia Allison. And that has grown from that. But prayer is still at the heart of all that Prison Fellowship does. And Eric now no longer actually goes into prison, but he's an amazing prayer warrior and very faithful. The organisation PF produces a national prayer diary each month. I produce a local one for PF Warrington. I'm the group leader for PF Warrington, and that covers both local needs and some of the national issues as well. We have a monthly prayer meeting, two of them on Zoom, and then the third one a time of fellowship and prayer. So that's so important to what happens in the prisons, to be backed by prayer. And the aim of Prison Fellowship is actually to have a prayer group set up to pray for every prison. Can we move on to the programmes now, please? And the next one, thank you. So Sycamore Tree is the programme that uses, probably involves most of the volunteers, and the demand for Sycamore Tree is growing very rapidly. Sycamore Tree is, of course, about restorative justice, victim awareness and restorative justice. And most people, if you say victim awareness, would understand broadly what we're talking about. But what's restorative justice about? And we say the same thing to the lads, really. What does it mean to be restored? And we take them through a process. We call it it's a six-week course. It's actually week six tomorrow at Thorn Cross. So it's the end of course. And that will be a great session. As I say, a six-week course. The first week we think about, you know, what it means to restore something. We have to point out that we are a Christian organisation, but because the course is externally accredited with the Gateway Qualifications organisation, our kind of tagline is, we're faith-based, but not faith-promoting. In other words, we're not allowed to proselyte. That's the point. But if any of the lads want to talk about our Christian faith at break time or something like that, we're open to be able to share with them. So we go through the kind of the four stages of the process, which is, confession, owning up, taking responsibility is the first stage, the essential stage, really. If that doesn't happen, you're not going to get any further. And then confession leading to repentance, or saying sorry, showing remorse. The third stage is forgiveness. And that's a really difficult one, isn't it? Forgiveness. And on the third week, when we talk about forgiveness, we have a victim of crime who comes in to the prison to share their story. And we've had some amazing people. One that you may have heard of, Lynn Connolly, has been doing this for many, many years now. Her son was murdered in Liverpool. I think it was about 2002. But she just tells the story so beautifully and then brings in, because, you know, she's a visitor onto the course, she can be quite open about her faith, and she just shares about how God brought her through that experience. And, you know, he's really using her and her story of forgiveness to get through to the lads, and she, you know, has impacted so many lives. She'll never know this side of heaven just how many people have been impacted by her story. So, and forgiveness, one of the things that, you may have been a victim of crime. Don't know, you may have been a victim of crime and find it difficult to forgive. But one of the things that in the workbooks that the lads complete for Sycamore Tree, there's a quote there saying, not forgiving is like drinking rat poison and hoping the rat's going to die, or you know, drinking the poison but hoping the other person's going to die. And it actually, lack of forgiveness can just eat away your very heart. Now, that process that I just mentioned there, of course, it is what Zach went through in the story in Luke 19 that we use as a case study right through the course, Luke 19, 1 to 10. And Zacchaeus, the tax collector, ripping off his local community, had a major impact on his community. Jesus saw him up in that tree, called him down. They went and had a meal together. And as a result of having that conversation with Jesus, he held his hands up, said sorry to the community, and basically said, I'm going to give back four times what I've cheated people from out of, and then half of whatever I've got left, I'm going to give away to the poor. So Zach had been fully restored into the community. One of the things, the questions the lads will have tomorrow, you know, every course has an end of course questionnaire. And one of the questions on there says, what have you found most remarkable about this particular course? And probably over 90% will say the ability of victims to forgive the person who's hurt them. And and actually the fact that a victim of crime comes in to share the story. And it's not only Christians. Tomorrow we'll be having Dr. Nasser Kurdi coming back to present the certificate, excuse me. He's a consultant orthopaedic surgeon at Withenshaw Hospital. And he's a lovely, lovely guy with a real heart of forgiveness. And a few years ago, not long after the bombing at in Manchester, the Ariana Grande, the bombing, he was heading into the mosque in Altrincham on a Sunday evening, when this young guy, I think mentally disturbed, but he came and he had a big kitchen knife and right in the back of. Fortunately, the way he put it in there, NASA's collar actually saved him, saved his life. He's a surgeon. He saw the x-rays. He knows it was millimetres away from the spinal cord, and he's fine physically now. But he's got a real heart of forgiveness, and he always makes an amazing impression on the lads as he shares his story. I just heard recently that since this thing with Israel and Gaza broke out, he's now teamed up with a rabbi, and they go into schools around South Manchester just talking about the fact that, you know, this is a war. It's not really about the normal people, the Jews and the Muslims. It's well, you know, it's crazy, isn't it? So that's Sycamore Tree. And one of the things I can honestly say, and I think the quotation is still on the website somewhere, is that I never got as much satisfaction when I was being paid to work as I do from volunteering with Prison Fellowship. Can we move on to the next one? Yeah, just a couple of quotes from graduates. And, you know, I've got to be honest, it's not every lad that goes through the course or every woman in style. I've delivered Sycamore Tree mainly in Thorncross, but I actually started in Risley where we did the Alpha course. I've also did quite a few in Forest Bank, a very big prison in Salford, Hindley in near Wigan, and even Stile Women's Prison, which was very interesting, very interesting. I found that the women on the course were far more emotional, but also academically, some of the workbooks that they completed were really amazing. I'll always remember, we do what we call an interim assessment, excuse me. There's two workbooks, and after the on the third week, I collect the first workbook in. And then the following week, give it them back with there'll be little post-it notes on that might say, you know, very good, excellent, or you might need to put something more here and so on. And when they've looked at these little post-it notes, as I say, you know, you can just discard them now. But one lady in Stile Prison, she was carefully taking all those post-it notes and putting them in a little folder. I said, no, you can throw them. She said, but nobody's ever said I'm excellent before, you know. Angel Tree, I think we've heard that wonderful testimony from Teresa. We'll be doing it in Thorn Cross. On the last year, we did just slightly more gifts than that, about 38 we sent out from Thorn Cross. It used to be a lot more when it was a young offenders, exclusively young offenders. But now, and the other thing that impacts Thorn Cross, it's a Cat D open prison, so quite a few of the lads will be going home at Christmas time, so they don't use the scheme, they're able to sort gifts out themselves. But yeah, we was in Thorn Cross one day talking to Sean, post Angel Tree, and there was one of the lads who'd been on a Sycamore Tree course. He completed the Angel Tree form, and he was on the phone from prison to his wife when the doorbell went and the parcel had arrived, and his children were there as well, and it was the Angel Tree parcel. And the children said, Dad, can we open them now? Can we open them now? And he said, oh, go on then, we'll pretend it's Christmas today. And they opened the gifts, and we wrapped the main parcel in brown paper and so on. There's nothing on the parcel to indicate that it's come from a prison. That, you know, so some of the lads are a bit sensitive about that and won't take part in the scheme if they think that's... So they're wrapped in brown paper, then the actual gifts for the children are wrapped in Christmas wrapping. As Jenny mentioned, a personal note that they've written to each child, and... this lad was able to be on the phone with his children as they opened the gifts, and it was exactly what, as same as Teresa's situation, exactly what the dad had specified their child like. So it was very rewarding. And it obviously, as we can see from Teresa's story, it can have a far wider impact than just, you know, restoring or strengthening the family relationships, which is one of the objectives of the scheme. It's one of the recognised pathways to reducing reoffending, to strengthen family relationships. Can we go on to the next one, please? Letter link, I think. Yeah, so this is it is a scheme for being a pen pal with somebody in prison. It's all done securely through postbox numbers. You can use a pen name, pseudonym, if you want to. It's very secure, but it's a way of, you know, you may be in this position where you'd like to do something within the prisons, you know, to help people in prison, but you're working in the daytime, or you might even feel, you know, not physically able to go into prison. But letter writing is something that you might be interested in. So we're always looking for more people to sign up for Letterlink. Chaplaincy support, next one, please. Now, this has been going on right from the very beginning, but just recently, past couple of years, there's been a request to provide volunteers who can be trained specifically in bereavement counselling, because it's something that the initial breaking of the news to the person that's been bereaved would be the chaplain, but then any follow-on support provided by these specifically trained prison fellowship volunteers. Next one, please. Bible studies. This was something that arose out of the COVID time when we were on lockdown. Oh, so have we done prayer line? Can we go back one to prayer? Yeah, prayer line. Prayer line is something that was set up as part of during COVID. And it's a free phone number. A free telephone number that people can use in prison just to talk to somebody who will then... can we show the next slide, please? The system. They make the call. There's people that kind of collect the calls, and then there's a cascading process so that we get the actual individual prayers. One of them we got last week that really hit me, it said, Jay, we only use their initial, will be released homeless next week due to a lack of services outside, accommodation services. Jay's very worried. He wants to sort himself out and go straight, not freeze or have to reoffend to get a roof over his head and get fed. Please pray for courage, strength, and perseverance for Jay. Isn't that a sad situation where somebody might be released from prison and deliberately reoffend just to get a roof over the head and to get food? Next one, please. I think we've done pastoral care. Thanks, Danny. Next one. Sorry, can we go back? Our mission. Oh, no, sorry, it's me, isn't it? I've got my slides mixed up here, sorry, just a minute. Yeah. We'll go to that one, thank you. Yeah, so this is the a plea, really, that if what you've heard today from Jenny or from me has sparked any interest, the website, I'd like to refer you to the website, Prison Fellowship England and Wales website, got lots of information that you need. But now, the past couple of years, we've started doing a regular online Exploring Prisons Ministry Zoom thing online, where you can find out more detail than I've been able to present to you today. And the next one of those is on the 17th of October, during Prisons Week. So if you're interested, have a look on the website and just register, and then you'll be able to join that Exploring Prisons ministry. Is that the last slide? Yeah, connect with us. The information up there, the website. Lots of really good information. You can sign up to get the prayer letter, and you can sign up to, to get training for letter link. From the pen pal scheme. And anything like that? Pardon? That's the last one, yeah. Yeah, that is the last one. Yeah, so just before I sit down, I just wanted to... if I can find it, I'll put it in here somewhere. A prayer. I don't know whether any of you use the Lectio 365 app. Yeah, but it's great, isn't it? Yeah. But just I've just found that so helpful in my personal devotions. But just earlier in the week or last week, there was a prayer of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and she did so much, didn't she, to serve the least, the lost, and the broken. So I think this is a prayer that all of us as Christians should aspire to. So I'll just close with that. So, dear Jesus, help me to spread thy fragrance everywhere I go. Flood my soul with thy spirit and love. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that all my life may only be a radiance of thine. Shine through me and be so in me that every person I encounter may feel your presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only Jesus. Stay with me, and then I shall begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be a light to others. Amen.
Just to finish, I just want to say this prayer for if we join together in this Prisons Week prayer. Lord, you offer freedom to all people. We pray for those in prison. Break the bonds of fear and isolation that exist. Support with your love prisoners and their families and friends, prison staff and all who care. Heal those who have been wounded by the action of others, especially the victims of crime. Help us to forgive one another, to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly together with Christ in his strength and in his spirit now and every day. Amen. If anyone would like to take one of these prayer sheets, prayer posters, there are some outside on the table. I'd just like Alistair to just come now and close the service.
Just add my thanks on behalf of us all to Jenny, especially for leading us in worship, and of course to Arthur, Eric and Margaret for joining us and sharing so helpfully. Just a reminder, the prayer for Prisons Week is in the newsletter, and you might want to use it during this week in your own prayer life. Let's pray together. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you for always. In the name of Jesus. Amen.